I just want to say something. Ben Shapiro was against the civil rights movement. I'm not even saying that Ben Shapiro would have been. I'm saying that he, in modern day United States of America, openly stated the Civil Rights Act is bad because it compels businesses, private businesses, to do things, like forces them to serve black customers. Ben Shapiro has openly stated that.
I don't make that case. I think that the federal government was perfectly justified in going to the states and obliterating all of the segregation regimes that existed in the states. I do not think that the federal government had the power constitutionally or morally or philosophically to compel individuals not to engage in constitutionally protected behavior, even behavior I don't particularly like, for example, banning Jews at country clubs. I'm a Jew, not in favor of banning Jews at country clubs. I'm not in favor of banning black people from restaurants. Do I think that the government, the federal government, had the power to compel the individual bed and breakfast owner to determine the federal government could override that person's priorities in terms of who they had in their house? No, I don't think the federal government had that power.
He's literally saying, like, the federal government cannot compel private businesses to engage in segregation. He says that it is immoral. Not the act of, like, engaging in segregation as an individual business owner, but the federal government telling individual businesses they can't do that. He says it's unconstitutional, immoral, unjustifiable, and unethical. That's from a month ago, dog. He's wearing the same shirt in this video as he is from 1 month ago. This is his, like, I'm gonna do racism shirt, I guess. I wanted to show that to you before we got into Ben Shapiro now wearing, ironically, the same exact fucking shirt as he talks about MLK and his legacy on this day, MLK Day. Let's take a look.
I have to. In 1968, 4 days before he was shot on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his last Sunday sermon at the Washington National Cathedral in Washington, D.C. It was entitled Remaining Awake Through a Great Revolution. And although King doesn't say the word woke, he uses the concept as it was understood by many black folks then, well before the term was co-opted by the political right, to refer to any left-leaning policy it wanted to condemn. The sermon is an opportunity to encounter the real King, who is too often obfuscated by politicians who use his legacy to support their own agendas. They contend that King was colorblind when, in fact, his policy aims were unapologetically color conscious.
I mean, yeah, literally. One of his policy aims you are dissecting and agreeing against, which is, you know, the Civil Rights Act, which was intended to destroy segregation across the board, including in private businesses. We're not even talking about, like, MLK's legacy, what he actually truly believed in. Nobody in liberal media even ever will mention that he was a democratic socialist. He was, like, literally pro Ho Chi Minh, anti-Vietnam War, anti-imperialist, pro-socialist. Like, they will never mention that. Liberals don't want to mention that. Republicans don't want to mention that. Partially because they're all right-wing pieces of shit, right? They have whitewashed his legacy in that regard. Aggressively so. But this takes it one step fucking further when you take a guy whose entire lives, his entire work, okay, revolves around creating equality for black people and says, no, actually, he is colorblind. To do white supremacist agitprop, the gall. Every fucking year we do this, whether it be Black History Month or on MLK Day, every fucking year we do this for an entire month of February and certainly on MLK Day, where we look through a list of some of the most unhinged right-wing fucking tweets from psychotic right-wingers who very much would have been against MLK at the time or are still against MLK's ideas now, bastardizing his words and his moves and his movement to specifically do the most counterproductive thing on the fucking planet, which is, you know, uplift, normalize, and defend white supremacist constructs.
If you had asked people in 1983, when this was enshrined into federal law, are they in favor of a national holiday that enshrines the idea of group redistributionism? The answer is no. There would not have been support for that.
I mean, 67% of America was against MLK at the time of his assassination. So going back to that era and using, like, the way that people, like, what people thought about MLK or his agenda as a good metric is pretty fucking silly, I think. Especially if we are now living in 2023 and you understand that you're supposed to, you know, look at him as a positive figure, right? Because Ben Shapiro's not stupid enough to shit on MLK, because that's, like, a pretty obvious way to be like, oh, you're a fucking gigantic racist. It's so racist that other races will be like, oh, man, that's a bridge too far, I think.
The thing that every school child learns when they are in school about Martin Luther King Jr. is the I Have a Dream speech, right? One of the great speeches in American rhetorical history. That speech is replete with references to the idea that we should all view each other as God's creatures without reference to color. An attempt to backfill that by looking at the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. was economically socialistic does not change the fact that that is not what we are actually celebrating about Martin Luther King Jr. on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And trying to claim that that is what we are celebrating is silly. Or that that's what we should be celebrating, because in order to celebrate the part of the legacy we like, we have to celebrate the whole thing. Wrong. We don't have to celebrate his treatment of women, and we don't have to celebrate his socialistic redistribution.
Oh, here we go. At least he's honest about MLK's background to shit on him in a way that is, like, appropriate.
Either.
Not the his treatment of women part. I'm talking about his socialism.
But, says this columnist for King, waking up is not simply understanding that racism is bad. It is acknowledging that racism created generational wealth for white Americans and robbed black Americans of the same economic boost. The racial wealth gap King highlighted in his sermon not only persists, but according to some studies, is basically the same as it was in 1968. Well, then I have a question. The United States has undertaken spending of tens of trillions of dollars in social redistributionist schemes, ranging from food stamps to welfare to government subsidized housing to government subsidized college admissions policy that is racially discriminatory in nature. And the wealth gap remains. Why is it that wealth gap remains when it has closed for virtually every other minority in the United States? The answer certainly has to do some with history, but a lot of it has to do with the fact that you have a 75% out of wedlock birth rate in the black community.
Yeah, dude, what a fucking slimy, gross loser, dude. Yo, even on MLK Day, you gotta respect it a little bit. He's like, he is so insanely racist. Bro, he could not even take one day off from the racism. You know what I mean? He's just like, nope, I'm going to go extra hard on this day, okay? That's what MLK would want me to do. Jesus fucking Christ, dude. Okay, there can only be two reasons as to why black people underperform in modern society in comparison to white people. And we're talking about like middle-class black American versus a middle-class white American family. Their children and their children's performance is going to be drastically different. It's true. Now, it's either external factors, such as their material conditions and centuries of segregation and slavery, and also, of course, the impact of such institutionalized, codified segregation and also racism, discrimination, still being a very prominent feature of black existence in contemporary society. Like, for example, every African descendant of slave in this country, okay, every black person pretty much in this country is 1.5 generations removed from abject poverty. 1.5 generations removed. How does that happen? Why did that happen? Think about it for a second. Because segregation wasn't that long ago, you know what I mean? Even slavery and the abolition of it, not that long ago. And at no point has restitution been offered to black people in this country. It's never happened. Black people have still been weaponized, and their existence has still been weaponized. And they have been cast aside and pushed into areas that are low income, that have been purposely starved out. How you've never corrected that wrong. You've never turned around and said, you know what? Actually, this is fucked up. Let's fix it. All of that is systemic. That's an external factor. So if you recognize that, you have to recognize systemic racism exists. On the inverse of that, on the other side, there's another reason. The idea that Ben Shapiro and Republicans in general push for, because they say systemic racism doesn't exist. And that is intrinsic factors. And that is racism. That's it. It's either external factors or internal factors. Either black people have been held back in a systemic way. And if you understand American history, even when the most basic understanding of American history should allow you to recognize that it is actually black people being held back as a consequence of racism, as a consequence of slavery, as a consequence of segregation, or it's internal. And that means that you believe black people are just genetically inferior. And that is precisely why they've been held back. That's just racism. That's white supremacy. It's simple. It's not that hard. It's not that difficult. And now, of course, it's now considered a faux pas to be so open about your white supremacist values, which is precisely the reason why these guys dance around the subject. They say it's culture. Really? Rap music is a prominent part of black culture in this country. Black culture, I would say, is probably the most exploited, but also the most successful form of American culture and American identity. Everybody listens to black music. Everybody listens to black trends. Everybody follows black trends. Everybody is very much internationally following black culture. So why does it impact black people differently then? Because even if you are to talk about culture, even if you are to say that, like, oh, it's black culture, that's why they're held back, which is a cowardly way to say it's their race, okay? These pussies can't fucking say race anymore, so they say it's culture, it's culture. Why is it that it impacts black communities differently? Black culture, I mean. Is it that, like, black people listen to rap music and it hits a different frequency? Because more white people listen to rap than black people do. There's more white people out there. Why doesn't it impact white people in the same way? It's just a way to shift the conversation away from using the scary word, the R word, racism. It's you don't want to say race, so you say it's culture. That's what they do. If it is simply a cultural difference, everybody consumes black culture. The most popular form of culture. The vernacular becomes commonplace. The word cool is black vernacular. Everybody says it. Ben Shapiro says it. Why is it that only black people supposedly are impacted by this? Not. It's external. It's systemic racism. But of course, these motherfuckers don't want to admit that, because that would undermine their entire worldview, because they're racist. That's it. What does birth rate out of wedlock have to do with these things? I mean, there's also a reason for that as well. That's like a very racist way of saying black people don't want to be in like a two-parent household because like they're promiscuous. It just goes back to like black men being violent and the age-old stereotype of like black men being primal and animalistic and violent and like hypersexualized. It's like a very common fucking trope that Ben Shapiro is like trying to pinpoint. They make it seem like it's that mode of existence, which, by the way, is also bastardized, because despite being out of wedlock, black men, according to studies at the very least, happen to be in the lives of their children significantly more than the way that, like, conservative media presents it as such, even if they are not in a government-recognized marriage. But some of the reasons as to why there is a statistical anomaly there or a disparity there, because there is one, is fucking the criminal justice system. One out of five black children in this country have one parent that's incarcerated. That number goes up to one out of 42 for white people. What the fuck do you mean? That's crazy. Oh my God, I can't believe. One in five incarcerated, but isn't it the fault of the person who committed the crime? Genuine question, because that will be the conservatives' argument. Better call Saul. That's a great question. Most crime is not a consequence of people being evil or bad or wrong. Crime is a consequence of poverty. If you recognize the underlying material reasons as to why crime persists in certain communities, and you recognize that those certain communities have been held back, specifically through systemic discrimination, you will now arrive at the truth about why black men are over-policed and also incarcerated at higher rates. There's also even, like, easy statistics to point to that even liberals will understand without trying to recognize the underlying material conditions. For example, black men go to prison and have longer sentences for the exact same kinds of crimes that white men are not suffering under the same conditions in the criminal justice system, like weed. Black men and white men smoke weed at the same rates, okay? But black men get longer sentences and also are more likely to go to prison when they're caught with this same amount of weed. They're arrested at four times the rate, despite the fact that they consume, use drugs at the same exact rate. It's codified in crack versus cocaine sentencing as well. Yes, that was a byproduct of the war on drugs. Shouts out to Joe Brandon. Black communities are consistently, historically, and in contemporary society underserved. They have less access to funds. They have been cast aside deliberately, systematically, and also are over-policed. The irony of that, the dark irony of that situation, the circumstances is really dire. And when you think about it, these guys are paying fucking taxes, okay, in a very simple way. I'll explain it. Black people go to work. They pay taxes, okay? Those taxes then fund the same police force that ends up jailing their children, jailing their friends, jailing their neighbors. Those police salaries then create white police enclaves or police enclaves, neighborhoods away from black neighborhoods. So black people end up paying the salaries of the very same people that can then turn around and build nice neighborhoods for themselves, because cops have pretty fucking solid jobs, pretty solid job security, as you already know. And also on top of that, a good benefits package. And when you get when you have a higher salary like that, you can also move into a fucking neighborhood or build a neighborhood out that has better education, better opportunities for their children. So black people literally end up fucking paying the people that killed them on the streets, the people that jailed them, the people that jailed their families by over-policing them, by putting them inside of the system early on. It's a crazy process.
Which is why you have another column in the Washington Post today by Perry Bacon Jr. saying the racial reckoning led to lots of talk but little real change. And he points out many American leaders and institutions will honor the legacy of the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. on Monday and pledge to work toward his goals. But they also most certainly won't sound as committed to black causes as they did in the weeks immediately following Floyd's murder by Minneapolis police. Well, right. I mean, that's because in the aftermath of George Floyd's killing by Derek Chauvin, essentially, you had a bunch of woke virtue signaling. People didn't look at the original situation of the case and say there is no evidence of actual racial bias in this particular case. There's a lot of evidence, in fact, that George Floyd was
high as a kite. No. Famously, there was none. Of course, you know, cops just fucking brutally execute white people on like a fake check charge regularly in front of like 40 people. That happens so frequently, man. Sentencing disparities. None of that exists. Over-policing, none of that exists. It's just a fabrication and not a byproduct of a otherwise white supremacist system of existence.
And the case apparently was made to the satisfaction of the jury, if not to my own satisfaction in court, that Derek Chauvin was responsible for his death. Again, I think the evidence there is really, really sketchy, but...
This man hit all the high notes. He said black people are fatherless and just left it there. He said George Floyd was not executed by a racist cop. Cop was not racist. I mean, he's hitting, dude, MLK Day, baby. He's hitting all the high notes.
The policies that are being advocated are bad. The policies that are being advocated by Black Lives Matter, the policies that were advocated by Martin Luther King in 1968, even if they were temporarily justifiable, would have been bad in the short, medium, and long term. And yet those policies are still being advocated today. So, for example, you have the New York Times today arguing in favor of affirmative action. Affirmative action has been one of the giantest fails in American political history. As mentioned, the wealth gap in the United States has not been alleviated. The notion that affirmative action, which was necessary in order to leverage black students who were underperforming on standardized tests into top-level universities, that this would heal the income and wealth gap in the United States was a lie. It is not true. It creates misalignment. It creates higher dropout rates. And yet you have the New York Times lamenting the possibility that affirmative action might fall. Of course, affirmative action should fall. The answer to racial discrimination is to stop racially discriminating. The answer to racial discrimination is not to then reverse the racial discrimination, obviously.
Okay, I can't do this. I can't do the rest of this. Okay, I will lose my mind. Listen, affirmative action is a bandage solution. It's not the best one, but it's the only one that liberals have like been able to push forward. Unfortunate for Ben Shapiro, reality of racial wounds being healed is that if you are segregating on the basis of race, and if you are underserving communities on the basis of race, a fact that even I believe Ben Shapiro recognizes, in spite of all of his best interest to make it seem like it's not the case, he still recognizes that to a certain degree. He admits that racism is bad. He admits that racism did exist at a certain point. The only way to solve historic wrongs that surrounded race is by offering restitution based on race. That's just how it works. You might not like it, but that's how it fucking works!